And Again, written by Catboy Dogma, read by Opalsong. Fandom, Star Wars. Rating, teen. Relationship, Fox, Quinlan Vos. Also tagged for, flirting. Established relationship, kind of. Fluff, mind control aftermath and recovery. Hurt comfort, emotional hurt comfort. Fix it. Alternate universe, canon divergence. Order 66 didn't happen. Mild gore and corpse disposal. Part 2 of the Benighted series. Recorded for Lattice Frames for ITBE 2022. "It all happens in the wrist," Quinlan said, into the soft patch of sensitive skin just below Fox's ear. "No one knows this, but Jedi have incredible grip strength." "I'm pretty sure a few people know this," Fox managed. "Kote, for example, likely got a frequent first-hand demonstration of General Master Kenobi's incredible grip strength." "Okay, a few people know this." Quinlan was plastered all along Fox's back, warm, clear through Fox's civvies and Quinlan's Jedi tabards. "The saber itself, the blade, has no weight to it. That's why it's hard for non-force users to wield them. They just can't get the same momentum in the swing."
"So why are you teaching me?"
Fox asked, palms sweaty around the cool metal hilt of Quinlan's lightsaber. He'd only held it once before, but he barely remembered anything about that night. Not for lack of trying, when the endless debriefs and interrogations and interviews had come around.
"Because I think it'll be funny," Quinlan said.
His mouth had migrated to the side of Fox's throat in the last few seconds, without Fox even noticing. His lips are warm and slightly chapped. They tickled against Fox's skin, rasped against his two-day stubble. "And 'cause that was a hell of a swing you took at the Chancellor. Can you imagine how good you'd be with proper training?"
"Clone troopers are taught to utilize a wide variety of weaponry,"
Fox said automatically, adjusting his stance. Quinlan moved with him, broad chest pressed to Fox's back, hands coming up to bracket Fox's shoulders.
"Yeah."
Quinlan nudged Fox's foot forward with one of his own, boot gently tapping at the inside of Fox's ankle.
"And now you can utilize a lightsaber."
"Is this necessary?" Fox asked. He was sure he could feel every one of Quinlan's abdominal muscles against the lower half of his back. It wasn't unpleasant.
"Extremely," Quinlan said,
hiding his grin in the crook of Fox's neck. Civvy shirt collars were looser than Black's, loose enough for a stray perpetrator to pull down one side and press his lips to Fox's collarbone, for example.
"Imperative. Vital, even."
He slid his hands down Fox's shoulders,
down his arms, his elbows, all the way to the saber hilt in Fox's hands. Quinlan adjusted the angle of one wrist, gently, minutely, and thumbed the switch of the saber. The green blade hummed to life. This close, Fox half fancied he could smell the ozone of it, feel the heat on his face and hands. It felt like a living thing in his hands. "The Jedi and the Kyber are connected," Quinlan told Fox. "We are one in the Force. Any weapon can move as an extension of oneself, but a lightsaber is an extension of the Jedi's soul." He sounded like he was repeating someone else's words from memory. His masters, perhaps, or whoever handled weapons training for the Jedi. "You can feel it, can't you?" Fox, privately, thought he was about as Force-sensitive as a brick of Durasteel. Even so, he could. He could feel the hum of the Kyber and the blade, and holding it felt intimate, like holding Quinlan's heart or some other vital piece of him. "Yeah, you can," Quinlan said, sounding immensely satisfied with himself. "We'll work our way through Shi Cho first. That's Form 1, the simplest one, where everyone starts." "First?" Fox asked, alarmed beyond words. "There were more? Swords were well and all, but give him a blaster any day. It wasn't like he'd ever have one of his own of these." "For now," Quinlan said, "because he was an evil, evil man with the moral backbone of a piece of wet flimsy." He pressed himself even closer to Fox somehow, hooking his chin over Fox's shoulder and miming a swing. Fox moved with him. The hilt was barely long enough to contain both pairs of hands, even with Quinlan's fingers wrapping over Fox's. The humming green blade tore through the air with a sound Fox had heard 1,000, 1,000,000 times. Only now he was on the other side of it. "Yeah, all right. He could get used to this." "I already know how to shoot a blaster," Quinlan said, sighting down the barrel of Fox's DC-17 with one eye squinted nearly shut. He had the Force to guide his shots anyway, so what did it matter? "You know how to point a blaster at someone and squeeze the trigger." Fox's hand came down on Quinlan's semi-bare shoulder and squeezed tightly. "You don't know how to handle a blaster."
"Can't be that hard."
This one was a little bulkier than the ones Quinlan was used to. It was a boxy thing, gar issue, and meticulously cleaned and cared for. It had Fox's signature all over it, down to the shining scuffs in the matte black finish, and the trigger worn smooth by repetition.
"You're already doing it wrong."
Fox put both hands on Quinlan's shoulders and angled him sideways, kicking his feet into a more squared position.
"Always face the target in profile. You get shot less that way. Both hands on the grip like this, especially for larger guns. A 17 doesn't have much kick, but a slug thrower or DC-15 will."
He reached past Quinlan's shoulder to set his hands to right, sliding his thumb up an inch and angling Quinlan's forefinger along the barrel.
"Can you shoot from the hip?"
Quinlan asked, already distracted by Fox's hands sliding over the backs of his gloves. Fox wasn't even doing anything other than fuck. Fox swept a broad, calloused hand across the side of Quinlan's throat, gathering his locks up and out of his face. His fingers brushed up against the flutter of Quinlan's carotid, the sensitive underside of his jaw. Quinlan swallowed. Each and every fluid ounce of spit simultaneously left his mouth.
"Yeah?"
Fox said, plucking the blaster from Quinlan's lax grip as easily as anything. He holstered it, drew it again, and fired all in the span of a second. The motion was so fast that even Quinlan barely kept up with it. Fox spun the blaster like the piece of shit he was before handing it back to Quinlan, grip first. Quinlan could still feel the warmth of Fox's hand against his jaw. He took the blaster and looked down the range, just in time to watch a tiny wisp of smoke curl up from just inside the bullseye's inner ring. "Wow," Quinlan managed, hand closing around the blaster. He wasn't wearing his normal gloves. Those were thicker and deadened most sensation, and they came up to just over his wrist. These were thinner, of a finer material, and ended just a centimeter or two before the base of his palm. The inside of Quinlan's wrist pressed up against the grip of the blaster, even as Fox's fingers uncurled from around the barrel. Fox's own memory hit him like a body at terminal velocity. Slick crimson coated the commander's gloves, soaked the cloth of his blacks. He breathed the copper rot into his lungs. Out, and the night opened before him. The grip of the blaster was hard in his hands, unyielding. He sighted down the barrel at the figure fleeing down the endless corridor of the streets. The iron sights bracketed the tall Wookiee for a split second. Kickback made the heel of his palm sting. CC-1010 was a good soldier. He followed orders. Wookiees were difficult to kill and even more difficult to hide. The garbage chute was too narrow. He didn't have the materials to piece the body out and feed it to the hot maw of the incinerator. The commander wrapped the still warm body in someone's stolen tarp and secured it to the back of an unmarked speeder. They went down, down, wind whistling past the commander's audials, and Coruscant swallowed them down. Past the energy grid, the city got darker with each level. The commander knew the underbelly of the city intimately as one young as him could. There were still deep pools in the low levels. Not the lowest, but low enough. They were filled with minerals and organisms that fed on anything, scavengers and decomposers. The commander hauled the corpse onto his shoulders and from there into the pool. The dark silhouette slipped into the water without a sound. Quinlan dropped the blaster. It was warm like a living thing, like a body. He clutched his hand to his chest and rubbed the inside of his wrist, swallowing convulsively again and again. It wasn't the first time he'd had an unwanted reading, but the gloves mitigated most of... Quinn? Fox stepped into his space, blaster holstered safely on his hip again, herding Quinlan out of the little booth and away from the range. What did you see? Quinlan blinked, finally coming to his senses. It wasn't the worst thing he'd seen. Not by far. It wasn't the most disturbing vision he'd had, but the senseless cruelty of it all, the memory of what Palpatine had done, not just with Fox, but to Fox. Palpatine had turned his Fox into a weapon, a blank slate ready to kill and bleed and die. I'm fine. It's all right. Now it was Quinlan's turn to check Fox over, running gloved hands from shoulder to elbow and then back up, down the front of his chest and over his sides, the jut of Fox's hips fitting perfectly into his hands. Fox bore all of this with the air of an Iopi getting its teeth checked, indulgent and long-suffering. "You're all right," Quinlan said once he was sure of this. "Right?" "I'm all right." Fox crowded up against Quinlan, putting himself between Quinlan and the rest of the room, Quinlan realized, which was wholly unnecessary, but still appreciated. "What did you see?" "It wasn't you." Quinlan pulled Fox to his chest, one hand smoothing down the stubble at the back of his neck, and the other flat between his shoulder blades. Fox shuddered in response, understanding. "It was my hands," Fox said softly, but he rounded his shoulders to fit into Quinlan's hold all the same. "It wasn't you," Quinlan repeated, letting the warmth of Fox's presence fill him. It was never you. The end. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!